Hewlett to snap. Snap is back. Ball is down. The kick is up. And the kick is good. The Browns win in Baltimore. They have beaten the Ravens.
They were resilient today, and they made the Ravens pay in the end.
Travis Coons does what Phil Dawson did back in 2007, and the Browns do exactly what they did to the Ravens back there in 2007. They win 33-30 in overtime. What a win from Mike Pettine and the Browns.
A much needed win.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Dog Pound, visit Arby's for an exclusive Cleveland Browns Dog Pound Cup for a limited time only while supplies last. Arby's, we have the meats. And the Browns have the victory. It's a celebration. You heard Jim Donovan on the call there. What a fun, fun victory. And we will hear from Jim Donovan at 2 o'clock, the voice of the Browns. We're also going to hear Mike Pettine's presser and some sound from the locker room. We'll give out game balls today as well. But let's get to the phone lines and celebrate and enjoy this. 216-578-0850. Ellis in Orlando, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, victory Monday. What a good day to be a Browns.
So sweet.
I just wanted to touch on you guys, especially you, man. I mean, you played the sport. You know, I want to give hats off to McCown for just having the mental fortitude to do what he did yesterday. You know, as a player, and I'm sure you can tell him that, you guys are under scrutiny and under a microscope on everything you do, especially quarterback, the most scrutinized position in sports. And as tough as it is to play in Cleveland, for McCown to do what he did was so impressive. And even take my hats off to even Coach Pettine to stick with his guns with all the noise to stay with McCown. I take my hat off to these guys, man. So game balls go out to both of them. Yes, we need to fix our defense, but we're going to enjoy this victory, man. Go Browns.
Go Browns. That's right. And you're absolutely right. And you're talking about scrutiny from the outside. When you play in the National Football League, there is scrutiny every single day of your life because you go out and practice, and your job is to get as close to perfect as possible in preparations for Sunday. So your coaches, your teammates sometimes, and scrutiny might be the wrong word, but you're being evaluated every day that you take that field. Everything is filmed for a reason. And you go back and watch it and fix it. And I think it's very satisfying for this offense of the Cleveland Browns and the team in general to go out, to go on a road in a very difficult and hostile environment, a very tough place to play. I know even the year that we went 14-2 in San Diego, one of our losses, M&T Bank Stadium against the Baltimore Ravens. So very difficult to get a win. And this one being in the division is very special. And the day all in all for Josh McCown, a very, very unique day.
Huge, 1-0 in the division right now, and Mike Pettine defeating the team where he began his coaching career as a video intern. That's got to be pretty sweet for him to go in there
100%.
And get that job done and get that victory for the Browns. Let's go. 216-578-0850, Richard in Decatur, Illinois. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
What's up, Richard?
I just wanted to, I'm a first-time caller.
Great, nice, man. Thanks for calling.
And I want to say how the Browns win was just amazing on Sunday.
Yes, it was.
And Josh McCown seemed like pretty much the best quarterback we've had since we've been back.
He is playing right now. Yes, I mean, the guy sent franchise records, best three-game stretch. Just was posted, NFL history just posted that Josh McCown is the first player in NFL history with 450 yards passing, two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and zero interceptions in the same game.
Wow.
Ever. No one's ever done that.
Say that again. It was music to my ears.
He is the first quarterback in NFL history with 450-plus passing yards, two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and zero interceptions.
Wow.
In the same game.
That's special. And, again, digging into these stats, 12 of 19 on third downs, converting at 63%. And I'm not trying to say that I'm a genius, and I don't always pick the – I did pick the Browns to win, I think, 24-21. So winning by three, got it right that way. And the game went into overtime, so give me some credit. And the one thing that I talked about in extracting the information that I did as a player last week, you know, going into the Ravens football game, was winning on third down because the Ravens had been – susceptible at allowing teams to convert very highly on third down from a defensive standpoint, and They struggled offensively on third down, and the Cleveland Browns were 12 of 19 for 63%, and the Ravens yesterday were 5 of 14 for 36%. So we continued to compound the Ravens' struggles on third down.
The Browns right now in the entire NFL are
the entire NFL?
Third in the league in third down conversion percentage as an offense.
Don't say where we're at for red zone. We'll
third in the league on third downs. Amazing. Jeff on a cell, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling a whole lot better right now than I was with about 2 minutes left in regulation yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just want to comment and kind of spread the feelings I think that a lot of Browns fans are feeling right now, because, you know, you guys touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, that 2 minute period, you know, in the end of regulation, you know, Kaywan Williams gets that penalty, which was total crap in my mind. But Ben Forsett has that long run, okay? This is everything that we didn't want as a fan base. And you think, oh, my goodness, here it goes again. And, you know, he limps off the field. And I really think that him being injured after that long run was the turning point of that game, because they made that stop, they get the field goal, go into overtime, and then end up pulling it out. And, you know, I really think that this fan base and you guys and everybody, the team, coaching staff, I think that that turning point might be something to carry over for the rest of the season. And I'm just looking forward to it, and hopefully we can take it into Cleveland back at home against Denver.
You certainly hope so, and that's the kind of thing that could be very much a rallying point for this team. And it was a situation where – you know, they needed it, and they needed it in the worst way, and they got it. They were able to dial it up when they had to have it, and that's what the Browns were able to do and get the victory, the offense doing it. Just a phenomenal job moving the football. And I think the Ravens, you know, the loss of Justin Forsett hurt them in overtime too, because at that point, all they had to do was run,
yes.
And it seemed like they were going to keep moving
seven
the ball.
7 yards a rip.
And then Justin Forsett was in there. They went run, pass, and the Browns were able to get that critical three and out, so the defense did show up big there. Jeff on his cell phone. Did we just do Jeff? Anthony in California. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Nate? What's up, Matt?
Not too much, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing better this week. I want to say to all the Dog Pound Nation, Dog Pound Nation, stand up. I'm still happy about yesterday's game. And I told you guys last week when I called that sooner or later the Browns are going to start to get a lot of these closed games. And we were so happy yesterday. Me and my other buddy were in Buffalo Wild Wings out in Pasadena. It was so many other fans in there. But we started winning. Our game got so excited, they started rooting for our team. So that just shows how great that we've gotten. And I want us to keep on winning. I'm not going to take too much of you guys' time. I want us to give props to Josh McCown again. Keep doing it. Denver's defense is weak. Their defense is good. Their offense is kind of weak, so we're going to go in there. And I think we're going to beat them in Cleveland. Go Dog Pound Nation. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Thank you very much for the phone call. Go Dog Pound Nation is right. Let's go to another member of the Dog Pound, Phil in Brecksville. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hey, Matt, Nathan.
How you doing?
You know, I'm great, thanks. You know what's ironic and really I was interested is that Rich Gannon did that game, and, you know, when Josh McCown came here, on the best that we hoped for was a Rich Gannon-like guy. Someone that was a journeyman quarterback.
Would call him, yes.
Yeah, someone that was a journeyman quarterback that went to Oakland, and I think he made the Pro Bowl a couple times. And I think what Rich said about Josh McCown was interesting. He said that he looks like the game has slowed down for him. And it seemed to be that he thought that this wasn't going to be an anomaly. My question, I guess, to you guys is, when do these teams stop blitzing us and start putting seven guys back there, because they know that what's been killing us is a tight end and a running back in space?
Teams are not actually, statistically speaking, blitzing us all that much.
No.
In fact, the touchdown to Crow, they dropped seven into coverage and rushed just their front four. Teams really aren't coming after us. It's the scheme has been very effective, and Josh McCown has been very good in his decisions and his ball placement, and they're winning right now. This is going to be a real test against the Denver Broncos, and we'll see what happens there. A real, real test for Josh McCown and this offense. Ken in Costa Rica. How you doing today, Ken?
Hi, how you doing? Puta vida, guys.
Yes.
That means pure year in life, but it's also happy days.
Yes, indeed, it is happy.
I wanted to make a comment about the penalties that happened yesterday, and then I realized, well, I can't remember what the second penalty was. The first one was, I believe, when they grabbed hold of Gabriel's leg at the end of the play and kind of pulled on it, and the ref never threw a flag. He just kind of blew it off. But then towards the end of the game, when nose tackle Danny, what's his name, Sheridan, pulled the leg on one of the guys from the Ravens.
Yeah, bent it back down on the goal line. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have to catch that? And I wanted to bring it up on the game pass, but I wasn't able to get that in there. So anyway, if you remember what it was, it didn't seem quite right because they looked to be about the same penalty.
Yeah, I do remember that. It was actually Andrew Hawkins. His knee touched down, on a catch from a tackle, and the one guy had his leg wrapped up and kind of continued to pull him backwards. And I think some of that has to do with, forward progress and when the whistle went off and kind of keeping him from gaining any extra yards. And I think Danny Shelton's was, and you could actually see the replay, it almost looked like it was over the shoulder of the referee who actually threw the flag. And it was just blatant and after the play of Danny actually grabbing the ankle, torquing it back. And I think yesterday's football game, and I'm not saying Danny's play in general, but we saw the immaturity of Danny Shelton with a couple bad penalties yesterday.
And he was sent to the bench after that.
Yeah.
And that was it for Danny Shelton on the day, so a message was being sent there. We will be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here. We'll keep the calls rolling, 216-578-0850. Travis Coons, Mr. Perfect. The guy booting it through the uprights four times. He has not yet missed in his young NFL career, and none bigger than the 33-yarder to win the game for the Browns, 33-30 over the Ravens. We'll be back right after this.